You want to save on the most popular PodNuts products? Go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Mm-hmm. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 337. The show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. It's a fun show if you like computers. Even if you're not in the business, but you're thinking about getting into it, or you just like to tinker with computers, you're going to get something out of the show, and I think you'll like it. Joining us today is a technician who lives pretty much right down the street from me. I just found out somewhat recently. Lives in Tampa, Florida, and his name's Jovan Foster. How's it going, Jovan?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself, Steve?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
That's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, like we were talking about before the show. It's a surprise. You live right down the street practically.
Yeah, I didn't know you were so close by, man.
You know, it's funny. The same thing kind of happened with Lalo. And I'm telling you, Tampa is where the Podnuts resides. Blooms in Tampa.
We're all one big family.
So tell everybody what you do and, where you work and what kind of things you're into these days.
Right now I do some work part-time for a local business over in Viareco, Florida. It's called Computer Hut, and it has an owner by the name of Alberto. He's a real good guy, treats the customers real good, and we take care of things over there full-time. I'm in school right now, so I'm trying to get my networking engineering degree in that aspect, and trying to finish up in this upcoming year, 2012, and get that out the way so I can go on to other things.
Yeah, that's well done, but, man. Well done. I mean, it sounds like you must be pretty interested in the field to go to school for full time for it, and I think it's going to pay off for you.
Well, it better. I don't have time to play, so like I told you before, I have a newborn, and he keeps me busy as well, so I have no other choice. I just got to get it done, you know?
I can imagine, man. It's a good job. What kind of job are you looking to get when you get out of school?
The thing was, I was in the military a while ago. I was in the Air Force, so I still hold a security clearance. So eventually, I won't go back into the service, but I will do something security related on the on base. And probably it'll be security administration, or it might be ethical hacking.
That's pretty cool.
Quite not sure which route I want to go, but
yeah, they both sound pretty cool. Ethical hacking—that's got a cool ring to it. Mm-hmm. What would you be doing?
Mostly computer forensics, I would say. That's another area that you can go into when you have the certain credentials of like certain certifications and stuff like that,
right?
Or just the proper training, you know, with certain software that allow you to get into those positions and jobs.
It's very cool. So you'll be able to work on the base, but you won't have to go back into the service.
Yeah, that is true.
Very cool. That's awesome, man. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. So what did you want to go over today? Any tips for the guys out there?
Recently, what we have been able to see when we have a lot of things come into the shop is the laptops. The laptops, they're constantly filled with these viruses and these rootkits. And a lot of tools that we use around the shop is the Rescue CDs. We're real big fans of them. I think a lot of technicians out there really don't use them that much, and they don't know how big of an advantage they can be to them.
What type of CDs are you looking at?
Well, you have different CDs, or you can they have certain tools out there that they have a boot disk. You can get a bunch of Rescue CDs and put them all on one USB and stuff like that, and then you can use that USB as a tool for you inside the shop, you know, at the bench when you're working on different systems. They have bypass login Rescue CDs. They have antivirus Rescue CDs as well that can help you out.
And do you boot from the USB, or you boot from a CD and then use the USB?
No, you'll boot off of the USB.
Oh,
the
cool.
USB can be formatted in different ways to boot different partitions or different ISOs of the Rescue CDs or stuff like that.
Cool. Where do you get the Rescue CDs?
Let me see here. The rescue CDs you can get from different software developers, like Avira provides one, Kaspersky. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Kaspersky, what's the name of it?
You got it the second time, okay. Which is good because most people call it Kaspersky. No, that's good.
Yeah, they offer one, and Bitdefender offers one, and who else offers one? A lot of big name ones. I think there was another one the other day that I came across. It was WebMD or Doc, not WebMD. Dr. Web.
Yes.
Something like that.
Right.
That was a good one. You know, small little downloads of the ISO. You can, like I said, again, they have certain tools out there. They have one tool called Sardu that allows you to turn a USB into different boot disk tools that allow you to boot different PC systems that you might be working on in the shop.
Sardu. So you basically, you take all these disks and all the disks and you take the ISOs and you put them all on the USB drive and that's like your main disk that you use?
Steve, I do not play. I load that sucker up with all the tools that I can find. I go grab me like a 32 gigabyte USB. Those are like fairly cheap nowadays. So they might run around probably a little bit under $20 at the right spot if you find one. And I load it up. I put different ISOs on there. ISOs that can bypass logins when the customers forget their passwords or when they're unreachable, when we're trying to get into the system and do data recovery or whatever.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Or we might just do rescue disk and we might do data recovery that way.
I see.
And just don't even deal with the Windows login.
Wow. So you usually just go straight to that.
Yeah, sometimes.
I see.
Well, of course, you know, we have the customer's permission as well, and at the utmost, we always do the backup first.
Okay, we've got a couple questions for you. First of all, what do you use for to bypass the logins? What software do you use for that?
Different tools. Sometimes we use OrthCrack. Sometimes we use another tool called Offline NT Password Registry
Editor. Ooh, that was the one I used to like. I used to love that thing, man.
Hey, that sucker doesn't play.
It doesn't, man.
That's his job.
Most guys were afraid to use it because it was just, it's all command line, you know? And it's, you just got to, but if you follow the directions, man, and you just read, you don't read all the crap. You just read at the very bottom. It gives you a couple options. It just worked so many times for me. That's cool.
Yeah, but a lot of new technicians nowadays, they really don't like to see that black and white screen sometimes. You know, so they get jumpy when they see it, and they're like, "Oh no, this not the right tool for me. I don't want it. I'm not going to use it."
Right.
Just calm down. Just read a little bit. Let's see what the output on the screen is saying. You know, check it out.
I know. And once you grasp that thing, that's powerful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What do you guys use for backups? Then you say you do backups.
Oh, backups, we have a couple of terabyte machines that we do, and we go ahead and use the Trinity Rescue Disk, and sometimes we use the CloneZilla as well.
Sweet. It's good to know you guys are legit. I mean, some guys would come out and say, oh, I use Hirons. And I use a hacked copy of Acronis or all that stuff. So I'm glad you're using real stuff. That's legit.
I'm a real big fan of, you know, open source tools, and I'm just a real big fan of the idea of all the great minds, you know, putting into work into one software.
Yeah.
And making it just get better and better.
Totally.
So, and plus it's free, you know, they offer it to the public, and who am I to turn it down?
Yeah, it's smart. So, did you ever hear Jonathan Nadeau? We do a Linux show. And
Jonathan.
He's a big advocate of free software, and he's been on the Linux show a bunch of times. And he you can check you would like him if you like the open source and free software.
I'm gonna check him out. I'm not familiar with the name though. I can't put a voice to it or a face.
Yeah, well, I mean, I bring him up for you and just anybody else who's listening. If you haven't heard his podcast over at Frostbite Media, it's frostbitemedia.org. Okay. Check him out. He's a good dude. He's been on the show a couple times on the Linux show, and he's filled in for me a bunch of times. And I really like the guy. So check out his show over there.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll make sure I do that for sure.
Yeah. All right, what else you want to talk to us about?
Let's see here. Another thing I wanted to talk about was how beneficial your laptop videos were to me.
Really?
Yeah. I took, remember I told you I was looking for the content when I was, about a year ago, I was looking for the content for my A-plus certification, and I came across your laptop repair videos.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was already like knee deep into the computer repair, and I was doing side work for that company as well. And I needed to get my hands a little bit more familiar with the material on replacement of the LCD screens, the DC repairs and stuff to that nature. Man, only if I would have met you a little bit sooner.
Really? Why?
Because when I found that link and I said, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Like I closed every other tab, browser window that I had open. And I was like, I'm focused. This is what I want.
Man.
And I don't care about anything else.
Really?
I was looking for something for so long and I couldn't, because I'm a visual learner.
Right.
No, not everything I can learn by audio. So when I seen that and I seen they were doing it hands on and they was getting in there with the 720p and I was like, hey, I'm not going nowhere else. This is what I want. And I'm serious about this.
Dude. So
it worked out to my advantage. Dude. So if anyone hasn't tried it yet, please get it done.
Nice, man.
Buy it.
Thanks for that plug. I often, I'm going to be honest with you, I often think about my videos and I start to feel bad because I'm like, I don't think they're good enough. And I go, damn, I'm like, I don't have too many returns, but I wish I could do these over because I think I could do a better job and I don't cover everything I want to cover on them. But so when you tell me that, at least it gives me some relief.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, you're doing a good job. I'm telling
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Do you do it? So,
yes, I know.
So you're doing a lot of laptop repairs these days, getting in there?
Yeah, we are. And the other thing that we're getting is a lot of tablets are coming in. I'm not quite sure, but the screens are needed to be in replaced of the tablets.
That's what I figured that might start happening.
And sometimes we use outsourced websites that can give us the screens. And sometimes these websites have tutorials on how to fix them as well. That's what we have started noticing.
Yeah.
And we don't really like to, you know, do those kind of repairs too much because we're not so familiar with the repairs.
Right.
But some of them are just, you know, small jobs and we get it done.
Huh.
And the other thing about it is the laptops when they're coming in, the type of repairs that they have and how urgent the customers want it back.
Oh, yeah. That's always been an issue.
We usually give them a decent time frame, you know, a time window for them to expect the laptop back and the repairs done. Sometimes the parts, when they're coming back and forth, they get held up or they taking too long, or there might be some problems with them shipping, and it doesn't work out to our advantage, and then we have to prolong it to the customer, and then it's just bad.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Especially when you promise a certain date, it's only going to be a couple of days. They want their computer back, and it just doesn't happen. It sucks.
Yeah. So, but we get it gets better after a certain time. Like I told you before, I'm a beginning technician as myself, and coming out, it's a learning experience, and you just have to accept it and move on and do better.
Sure.
Next time you come across something.
Totally. Well, I want to actually ask you about the tablet repairs. So when you guys do tablet repairs, is it usually because of a cracked screen?
It's usually because of the cracked screen.
And what do you just order a part, replace it, and then done deal?
Usually, most of the time, we have to to get the bezelment of it. We get it off of the website, and then usually we can go ahead and replace the screen.
I see.
But sometimes it depends on the tools that we're using. You have to use real sensitive tools, and those tools sometimes is hard to find. So usually you have to be kind of crafty and kind of get your way in there, use kind of sledges and, you know, nidge it in there into the crack just to get the embezzlement off. Because
right.
The way how these manufacturers are putting them on there, and me, I got fat fingers. I really can't do too much. You know? So it's difficult as it is to try to get in there. And because the worst of them all is these ViewSonic G tablets.
Really? I was going to ask you about some specific brands. It's ViewSonics, huh? They're tough?
Man, I recently had like probably about 3 or 4 of them. And I tell you, these are some decent machines. The hardware specs on them are awesome. And I can vouch for that because when I'm doing research on it, you know, trying to fix it for the customer, usually, you know, you come across the hardware specs too, and you read up on it a little bit. And it's no easy task. They have sometimes they have tutorials on the forums. Sometimes they have vendor websites that will actually give you tutorials and help me files as well to do the replacements of the screens. And sometimes you don't get no information.
I see.
So sometimes that's why we just resolve to the issue of not just dealing with only certain tablets that we might have came across in the past. And we're not so familiar with, we really don't advise the customer that we would be the best place to do the repair.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are you getting in mainly for tablets? iPads?
The Zoom, we had about 2 of those. Those were before Christmas. I think those were returns that they had from the Black Friday giveaways. And they had 2 tablets.
They were returned.
They were returned. They were returning them to the to the store. And after they returned them to the store, they say that they wasn't going to get the refund for them because it was just a purchase from the Black Friday. So they brought them to the shop.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes. And I can't vouch for you what store it was, but I remember it was right after Black Friday sales.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we seen them. And then sometimes, you know, you have customers that just don't want to deal with the repairs and let the tablet go for a cheap price as well.
So they'll bring it to you and you buy it off of them?
Yeah, sometimes.
I see.
So it works out in our advantage, but the problem that I had with one tablet that I did purchase is I couldn't get it fixed. So I did lose out.
I know. I've done that. But, not with tablets, but with laptops in my old shop. Somebody brings something in and they don't want to get it fixed. And you look at it and you start to get a little excited because you're like, man, I think I can fix this. And I think, you know, you get it for a good price off the person. And then something, it just doesn't. It usually is sometimes more trouble than it's worth. And it sucks. But, yeah. Are you getting any like 7-inch tablets in, or maybe still the big ones? Still,
no. It's basically the 10-inch tablets. We haven't seen too many of the 7-inch tablets.
Are you getting iPads in?
No iPads. No. We hardly get any Apple products in.
Wow.
How shocking that might be. We hardly ever get any Apple products in. And I mean, I don't have anything against Apple. I think their products are great. I just choose not to use them unless some. Doing something like, you know, audio or visual,
right?
You know, with a project or something to that nature,
right? Now, that's interesting. I guess that Apple has the marketing in place that people know that they have to bring it back to the Apple store when they break their Apple device. You know what I mean?
And they do it well.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you've been to the Apple store over here in the mall.
Yeah,
you've seen how many technicians they have on site.
No, I never noticed technicians, but I noticed employees.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, some of them are called technicians, though. The ones that come out and help you with your device.
Yeah.
Well,
they have a lot.
I mean, you can go into the store, you could probably see 10 of them.
Exactly.
And then more people will flood into the store, and then you'll see like 5 or 6 come out the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, where'd you come from? Are you serious? Like Apple does not play. They do their thing.
No, I mean,
they do not play.
They don't. Yeah, their store. I mean, if nobody has been into an Apple store, I don't care if you hate Apple. Just walk into it just to experience it. It's just a different kind of store. They really have their lines in really good. And you know, if you want to buy something, they whip out an iPhone and they bring you up right there. I love that.
And they have all these products. All their products have like demos. You know, you notice that whenever you go around the store, you can demo everything on the spot.
Yes.
And it's like.
I remember when all the demos, to see mm-hmm. the to see the price of them. They had they used to have like a little card next to them with their price on it in like this glass or whatever. Now they have iPads next to every single item in the store that has like a visual representation of their price, and you could scroll through and find all the features. Every item has an iPad next to it. I'm like, an iPad too. I'm like, you kidding me? They did away with their price tags and replaced all their price tags with iPads. It's crazy.
So basically, you either have the choice of buying that product you're interested in, or you just sold automatically on the iPad.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, they're nuts. But
doing anything.
I haven't read the Steve Jobs biography yet. I bought it from my dad for Christmas. He read the whole thing, and he told me I definitely should read it. He's like the main reason I kept reading this book, and he read it in record time. I've never seen my dad read something so fast. He said the reason I kept reading this book is because in the beginning, you found out what such a jerk Steve Jobs was that you wanted to keep reading. So you get to the part where you actually start to like the guy. He's like, because in the very beginning, you find out that this guy is just a real jerk. And he said, the only reason I kept reading is because I wanted to like the guy before I ended up reading the book, but it was rough in the beginning. He was really, you know, all the stories about him and stuff were coming out. And I have to check it out because I don't know all the behind the scenes stories.
He was a remarkable man, though. He did a lot for the technology.
Oh, yeah.
Information age and everything like that.
He's really good, really smart. He's crazy.
When I get a chance, I'm probably going to look at the book as well.
Yeah. All right, man. What else you want to talk about?
Let me see here. I did write a couple of things down that I wanted to speak about. One second here. I just opened up this webpage on this website, and all my other browser windows closed.
Really? You need to call a technician in.
I don't need to call nobody. I'll take care of
this. I'm just kidding. That's what I always tell. That's what I always tell that to Steve D. Did you ever hear Steve D on some of the shows?
Yeah. He's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, you should call on a computer repair guy to take care of that.
Door.
You like Door?
Yeah, I like Door too. he has a good show with Limits for the Rest of Us.
Yes.
And he has another show that I listen to a lot. Linux Basics. Those are some brilliant-minded individuals over there on Mumble. The discussions that they have, man, the details of the Linux, they know it so well, and we're all just learning it, you know, day by day. And they're some smart individuals, man. I learned so much from them in the small amount of sessions that I have had. I learned so much from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can imagine you do, because every time I listen to the show, it's completely over my head. So, yeah, but they do a good job. And I could never be on that show because I would be too much of a noob. But, yeah, they do a good job.
Well, being a noob is a good thing, you know?
Yeah, it is. It gives you something to do, to learn. Did you pull up your webpage?
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the support for Android phones.
Okay.
And how that's coming about sometimes. Sometimes we have customers, you know, when we're dealing with their computers, they might pop out their cell phone and ask us questions about how to do this or how to do some networking things with their cell phones.
Wait, hang on a sec. What, are you at a party?
No, it's...
What, are you at work?
Oh, no, I'm actually at the house.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure if my roommate is watching ESPN or what he's doing. I do apologize.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I do apologize to the listeners, but...
All right. Let me see. You mean people come in and have questions about their phones?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, they might have Wi-Fi issues, or they might want to do certain things with their phones. Like a lot of things that I've seen was the connecting back to the house with the security cameras. They might have like an IP camera or something like that.
Yeah.
And they just don't know the specific apps to download to their phone to view the IP cameras at home. And sometimes, you know, we help them out with that as well. And it's not, we don't charge that much. You know, we might charge a little fee or anything like that to do some port forwarding on their router so they can see it outside of their Wi-Fi network, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good idea. And those quick little jobs, if you don't charge, that, you know, that person's probably going to come back to you or like remember that you did something for them, and you'll build a future customer that way.
Yeah, yeah. So we like, so we help the customers out like that. And sometimes, you know, when they have other issues with Android devices. So they might come in and they bring the Android to us, and they show us the issue that they have on the Android device. It might be, you know, something small, like basically transferring all their iTunes music from their laptop into their tablet or whatever device they might have, or it might be the cell phone or the smartphone. And we inform them, you know, it's real difficult for a customer to understand the directory layout of their SD card. Sometimes when they go fetch pictures or they fetch music or look for the folder where to put certain things at, they don't understand where to put it at or where to find it.
Right.
Or when they actually might take a picture on their phone, where was it stored at for them to move it somewhere else? And what I have realized that Android doesn't make it easy for some customers that's not familiar with the smartphone technology to be able to move the pictures and media back and forth.
No,
because all they basically do is tell you, here's the cell phone, and you know you have a USB cord, you plug it into your computer, and what happens then? Autoplay pops up and it says you want to move this, you want to sync this, and when it syncs, it doesn't work. It does it like halfway.
Huh.
Excuse my French. But it does it halfway, so.
Yeah, they don't make it. The iPhone does the same thing. There's no folder structure, really. But in the Android phone, I guess they expect you to get the pictures off by, like, using the share feature or Dropbox or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. you to look at the file structure, at least in your phone, you have to download mm-hmm. an app that shows the file structure. There's nothing stock that usually comes on these phones that show all your folders. And yeah, mm-hmm. I can imagine somebody plugging this into a Windows machine and then seeing like a DCIM folder, and that's where all their pictures. Like, come on, it is pretty crazy. So yeah. I agree with you. So what do you do with that? You instruct people on how to get their stuff off?
Yeah, we have a couple of testing labs around the shop. So usually a customer will go into the little testing lab, and we'll show them. We'll hook up their system with a VGA port, and we'll show them visually on the screen on where to go, how to do it, and the best way how to do it as well. And usually tell them there's limitations on the SD card because they want to put so much photos and they don't know how to tell if it's going to fit or not. And usually we give them a rule of thumb is, you know, depending on the resolution of the pictures that you're taking is how much it's going to take up the room on the SD card.
Right.
And usually, you know, they go by that rule of thumb, and it works out for them.
Yeah, I guess if you simplify that for them, that's a big thing. Everybody wants their pictures.
Yeah, big fans of their pictures, all the family and loved ones.
Yes.
And the pets, yeah, I don't forget about the pets.
How could I had a little
experience with an older lady quite a while back, and she wanted to retrieve her pets. Pictures off of this USB. This is how one of those Linux rescue CDs actually helped me. She had a USB and it was corrupted, or she formatted it and did something, and one of the rescue CDs helped me retrieve it. Like, it did something. I forgot the name of that program. Program's name was... It's a very popular one, but I remember the process of it. Basically, she formatted it. She formatted the USB, and to my understanding, when you format the USB, the partition table got wiped out, or if it was wiped out, or the partition got deleted, or something like that, because the USB is basically just one whole volume.
Right.
This tool, the Linux Rescue tool, it analyzed the USB of what previously was there, and it looked at the file structure, and it looked at the partition table, and it said this was just here at before the format.
Right.
In a couple of clicks, it was a black and white screen, you know, the ones that the technicians are afraid of sometimes. So, but it's self-explanatory, though. You know, it's pretty simple. And I think I remember it. Okay, here it is. Test disc.
I was going to say, if it was black and white screen, I was going to ask if it was test disc.
Yes, test disc. And, man, she loved us to death. She loved us to death. Because, see, when people get scared and they don't know what they're doing, they just start clicking everything.
Right.
And when I believe when she clicked the format button, I can imagine the words that came out of her mouth when she said, done, complete. She went in there and she looked and she didn't see anything.
Right.
She didn't see anything. And, you know, thank goodness the first thing she did was basically call a computer repair shop.
Well, I'm glad she called you because... I'm sure somebody else could have scared her even more by saying that, oh, I'm sorry, your pictures are gone forever.
Well, you know, her first stop was Best Buy.
Oh, I can imagine that.
Yeah. And then she said that she did like a little Google search and on her phone, and then she found us locally.
Well, what did Best Buy tell her?
Best Buy told her that it was going to cost a little bit of money for the data recovery. They were going to do data recovery because they told her that since it was already deleted, that it was going to cost a little bit more extra money and extra time.
Well, how much did she say a price? I'm curious now.
No, okay. But I think I checked their prices for data recovery. I think it's over $100 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
I would imagine so.
I mean, just for something so simple. I understand that's how they make their money. And, you know, I don't knock them for it, but they don't take an arm and leg of a person that's, you know, that's kind of just helpless.
Yeah, they do.
But they have to go by, you know, the rules and policies that the company sets and stuff like that.
That's right. I mean, they can afford to do that. They have customers lining up at the door, so.
I believe it. Sleeping outside in their sleeping bags.
I did that once, not to get my computer fixed, but for when the Xbox 360 came out, I camped out in front of a Best Buy.
I don't blame you, man.
Here's the thing. It was up in Philly. I will never do that again up north. It was in December. I froze my butt off. I will never do that again.
You did that in the cold?
In the cold in December at a Best Buy in Philly. You know what? I got to say though. What happens is you get this huge line of people that start to form, and they're all there overnight. So you start to make friends, and you have this like camaraderie with all the people that you form in the line, and it's actually kind of fun. It's like a big campfire, and like you just like strangers, but you become friends. And then here's the best part: you have the people who try to cheat when the store's about to open. They come just right at the last minute, and they try to butt to the front of the line. And since you form such a bond with everybody else in the line, you're like all ready to kick their butt. And so they don't get too far. So it was kind of fun, but I still
wouldn't. Pretty intense out there.
Oh, yeah. That's Philly, man. That's Philly.
See, you can do that. Like I told you before, you know, I was raised in Florida and I'm from here, so I'm warm blooded. I can't deal with the cold. And as you know, the next couple of nights, you know, it's going to be freezing, right?
I didn't know that. Is it?
Yeah, compared to some people, they might not think it's cold, but it's going to be like below 30s for us.
That's cold, man. Is
it
really?
That's scary cold. And they're talking about, you know, record temperatures below certain something.
Why does this crap happen after I move down here?
Why does it happen in Tampa? This is the Sunshine State. It's please,
serious.
I mean,
I'll tell you what.
Today was nice, though.
Yeah, today was nice. I don't like the cold either. I'm from Philly, but I never like the cold. That's why I love it down here. So, yeah. Okay, well, we're in for it for a couple days. But we can't complain about it publicly because everybody else would be like, oh, suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah, no other choice.
Right.
No other choice.
Cool, man. You got anything else you wanted to go over with us?
Let me see. I wanted to, if I can give any word of advice that helped me out.
Sure.
With the virus, malware removal, and like the rootkits, that whole area, the system internals.
Ah.
Oh, if you could do anything, I would advise you to go to, I forgot, he has a blog webcast. I can't pronounce his name correctly, so I don't want to mess it up.
Is it Mark Rusinovich?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mark Rusinovich. If you can go to his blog pages or webcast and watch his system internal videos, they're going to help you behind the bench.
Is it the ones where he talks about the malware?
Yes.
I have not yet watched. I heard about these. I have not yet watched them myself.
I have watched all of them.
Really?
When I tell you, let me not lie. It's probably about four or five that I haven't got to yet. They're pretty long. They're about an hour or more.
Right.
So he gets down deep into the system. All the tools that he uses is in that one small suite, the system internals suite that he has for free on the website.
Now, what tools do you use out of Sys Internals?
The ones that I used the most is the Process Explorer.
Yeah, I heard good things about that.
And you could just do so much with it. And there's another, I use a couple of networking ones as well that gives me the ports that are open, that are listening.
Huh.
Because on certain systems, I find that certain malware and viruses that I find, they are spamming the network. And you can catch it with a network filter. You know, if you get that deep into it, you can catch it with a network filter like Wireshark, and you can see that it's breaking past the firewall. If they have a firewall on the system and they're spamming, you can catch it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And that's usually how most of the infections can transfer to the other clients on your local Wi-Fi network at home as well. If the virus is that mature and smart enough to do, it will spread.
Interesting. Do you know the name of that tool that you use for that?
Oh, to catch it on the network.
Yeah.
If it is sending out malicious content, you can use let me see, you can use Wireshark.
Wireshark, okay.
Wireshark is a good tool that you can use to analyze that material if the behavior of the virus and the malware is acting to that.
I see. Cool. Good tip. Sys Internals. You know, we had him on an episode of Podnuts.
You did?
Mark Rusinovich.
What episode was that?
It was. It wasn't Podnuts Daily. It was Pod Nuts. It was like episode 60 or something. It was right after his book came out. Me and Dora interviewed him.
Ooh, man, I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. We had a lot of fun, and we covered the malware thing, and I asked him what his favorite Sys Internals tool was, and I can't remember what he said, but check it out.
Yeah. Is it Down to Earth guy?
Yeah, yeah, he is, and it's cool talking to him. I mean, after he wrote a book about it was a fiction book, but he put all this tech into it, like real life tech. And after like learning about that and stuff, and you realize that the guy's pretty cool. So we had a good time. Awesome, man, that's good stuff. Sys Internals. I always wanted to use. I always used to go into MS Config and turn stuff off when I was fixing machines. But auto runs is like MS Config on steroids, and I never really delved too deep into it. But
that's another one of the programs I like to use as well. Auto runs.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention that. It's a good tool.
Yeah,
real good.
Yeah, I heard good things about that too. Awesome. Cool.
Another thing I wanted to mention was the remote support as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes, we provide remote support, and it works out to our advantage because we use the small little tool, Team Viewer.
Sure.
You use that too sometimes in your shop.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Okay.
I don't have a shop anymore, but Team Viewer was I used LogMeIn and Team Viewer, and it's kind of bounce back and forth, but I've used TeamViewer at home a lot to like do things. Yeah. I like it. So you guys like that better than LogMeIn?
I like it better because, but the only thing that I didn't like is when we were using it at first, because TeamViewer is down here with us. They're based down the street.
No.
In Tampa.
They are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, they're in Brandon or Tampa?
No, they're in the Tampa area.
Where at?
I'm not quite sure, but I'm not sure if it's headquarters, but they have an office or if it's a corporate office down here.
Yeah.
I think some of their server administrations for the VPN connections are down here in Tampa too.
Get out.
So they're doing their thing. But I'm not quite sure what was the rule or the policy they had, but if they verify that, you know, you connect remotely to a couple of clients and they see like more than five IP addresses, then they solicit to you a pro version to upgrade to and stuff like that.
That's the
only thing that I didn't like. You know, I was upset about that. But, you know, I said for the money, you know, to give my clients what they need and an easy web page to go to be able to put our credentials in and we go ahead and log on to their system. That's fine. You know, I just go ahead and pay it.
How much was it?
For the for when we started, we were just 70
a month.
Not for the for the whole year. Because we went through a coupon code.
Yeah, you can't. Wow, you can't beat that.
No, can't beat it at all.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, and that's a lot of things too. That a lot of people miss out. I know technicians when they have their own shops and their own repairs that they're doing, they usually try to budget and look out for these coupon codes. You know, with some merchants, you can put coupon codes in and that price drops, you know, significantly. Save money.
I know, because when you told me 70, I for some reason I have in my mind TeamViewer used to cost like 300 or something. So that's a huge savings.
But we, you know, we've been with them for a while though.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, so when we did it.
Sweet. That's a good
I remember he goes.
Cool. Yeah, I every time I look for a coupon code online, it never works out. So I have to always have to get one that, like, find one that somebody sent me in an email, like the company actually sends you in an email or something. That's the best way to use them.
And you know, the Android application is not too bad as well. You know, you could do your remote support from the Android application too. I would suppose if your phone has a decent connection.
Sure. Have you tried it?
Like, yeah, I tried it over the 4G connection, the 4G LTE. It was Metro's, but I've had a friend try it over the Verizon, and they both work flawlessly.
So, Metro, I've been curious about that. So they actually have LTE on Metro?
They have Metro for 4G, but only a couple of Metro phones can handle 4G. And I think Metro, as of right now, they only have like three phones that can cooperate with the 4G towers that they have.
Because I have Sprint 4G and I'm not real happy with it. What kind of phone do you have?
I have the Samsung Indulge. Yeah, it came out like the beginning of last year. And it was a pretty penny too. I always think back about it. Every time I look at it, it just makes me just think, like, did you really cost that much money? Like, you should do more than what you do.
That's funny. No, I look at the phones now. They're just coming out, the Razer and the other ones. And they're like $299 now with a startup plan. And you just know they're going to come down like $100 here. Then in the next couple months, another $100. And as the new phones come out. So I cannot justify spending like $300 for a phone these days.
And the thing about it, they're dual cores as well. You know?
Yeah.
So, and my phone is a single core.
Really?
But that's all right. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. But those dual cores, they ain't nothing to play with.
No.
They're pretty good.
They're nice.
And, you know, some of the phones that's coming out, they have decent hardware specs on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I always pay attention to. I'm not really concerned about sometimes the manufacturer's names. I just want to see what's under the hood and make my judgment call from that.
Yeah, I go by that. And I always check reviews for my gadgets these days, too.
You
can usually get good information that way. Hey, on these Metro phones, if you leave your Metro area, you're screwed, right? Like if I went an hour north or an hour and a half north, would I be out of range?
You know, it used to feel that way when people used to have Metro PCS. We used to feel like you're on some type of probation and you couldn't leave the area because it feels so weird. But Metro has they have expanded now. So they say you can go national, I think.
Oh, really?
Anywhere around the country that has Metro PCS coverage area, you should be good. Oh, yeah. I think they hit all the major cities, so I don't think you really should have too much problem. When I was up in Massachusetts earlier last the middle of last year, I had no problems. I was getting decent coverage.
Okay, good. So they stopped their probation style. Okay.
Yeah, limiting everybody to like, you can't leave the county. You can't leave the state. We will cut your cellular service off. We won't let you use anyone else's towers. No, come back.
That's great.
Yeah, it works out.
Yeah, I was curious about that. Cool. Got anything else?
Let me see. What else do I have? No, that's basically about it.
That's good stuff.
You know,
good stuff.
Thank you for the opportunity of, you know, speaking with you today and going over this discussion. You know, I had a couple of things I wanted to speak to you about, and always been a fan of the show and the you know, the good people that you bring on the show to inform us on how to get these businesses going and to keep them up and running.
Oh yeah, man, it's my pleasure. I'm glad that the shows are helping you.
Oh yeah, I'm paying all my bills on time now. So
nice.
You've been quite beneficial. I've been wanting to get into the always been interested in computers, but I've never knew how to really get the business going and deal with customers. I've always been a people's person, but I never just had the professional relationship to deal with customers on a daily basis, you know, at a professional level.
Sure.
To keep them happy and keep them returning and to tell their friends and, you know, bring other people in as well. So.
Well, totally. And it actually, it's a good thing you brought that up because it's not that hard, really. I remember when I started my business and it was booming, I said to myself, the only thing I'm really doing, I'm like, looked at what I was doing. Like, the only thing I'm really doing is I'm giving great service and I'm giving great customer service. And,
yes.
And like that alone is gold. So
you can't beat it, man.
You can't. So if you're a people person and you treat your customers nice, you're like 90% of the way there.
You know? The returns of it is just, ugh.
It's true.
It's priceless. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
Because I know I've done more than one customer correct and right, and they have brought me triple the amount of people that I wouldn't have seen even if I was out there myself trying to get people into the store.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, word of mouth is huge.
Yeah.
I think we have a voicemail. Want me to play that?
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Let's see what we got here.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Dor. Hey, everybody else at Podnuts. I just wanted to say that you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Steve, I don't know how the heck you do it, coordinating everything, but you're doing an outstanding job mediating all this. Everybody there, keep up the good work. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Yeah.
I played that on all my shows because I like that email voicemail so much. So,
you should, man. You should like it. That's just telling the truth, you know?
I appreciate it, man. That's good validation. Need that every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's it for the emails, I think. Hang on one sec. I wasn't sure if he wanted me to read it on the show, but I was misunderstanding it, so he definitely does. Here it is.
All right.
He says, Steve, on show 332, a guy named Juan was asking about a good way for his customers to follow their computers through his shop. I use the Shop Manager software to do this, which is installed on my HostGator account, which you can sign up for at podnuts.com/HostGator. We do a ton of computers in our shop, approximately 150 or more a month. So we needed a way for all of our techs to track all of these computers. So when a customer drops off a PC, I check them in by typing their information into the Shop Manager or into Shop Manager and then print a drop-off slip. They sign and I attach to the PC for repair. And they keep a copy showing that they dropped it off as well. I also have a Dymo labeler, which the software will print a label with a job number and a barcode for each of the items dropped off, such as laptop, bag, and power adapter. So I then attach the labels to all these items, and I put the PC on the shelf to be inspected. Also, at the same time, if you entered the customer's email address when checking them in, it will send them a username and password to log in at my website to check the status of the PC. This will show them the status of the PC, such as to be inspected, in progress, on hold, when you're usually waiting for parts or callback, or ready for collection. They can log in and see where their computer is at any given time. I have several computers that I have several customers that love this feature. Also, they can see any notes we have added to their job, as well as the pricing of the parts too. The software also has an on-site booking and status section as well, where customers can log in and see the on-site jobs as well. It also does invoicing, and the next version is supposed to do service contracts as well. There are too many things that this software does to mention, but there's a demo on the website you can try out. It's at mysm.co, which stands for My Shop Manager. So mysm.co is the software he used. This is from Jason from unbounddigital.net. He really likes the software. Thank you very much, Jason. It's a good email, and it's always good to know about all the alternatives for this kind of software to try out. Joe, what do you think? Do you guys use something like this?
We use something very similar, but not to that extent. That software is going above and beyond. Wow. It does all that.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to inform the owner about, most definitely, because, wow. We have a software that we use. I can't remember the name of it, but it probably does about half of that, but nothing close to it.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's up to your how big your business is and how much mm-hmm. how in depth you actually want to get. But there are programs out there, and just use whatever fits you best. You know, that's what I say.
Yeah, I do recall there was a program not too long ago that did the invoicing, and I forgot what it's called.
There's TS Man. TS Man
comes to me. No, it's not TS Man. It's a company online, and they handle your billing for you.
FreshBooks.
Yeah, man, you're sharp. Wow. Like, you need to be on speed dial, because when I get a brain freeze about certain things, you quick with it. Wow. That is awesome.
I see. I still got something left in me. I still got something.
Hey, plenty.
Yeah, I've heard guys talk about that. They really like the interface and the ease of use with that program.
I've known it to be real clean and sleek.
Yeah,
that's exactly. That's the reason why we had liked it for a little small project that we had did one time.
Oh, cool.
For some networking clients that we dealt with.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, man. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the show. Jovan, any last comments for the folks, and anything else you want to say?
Wow. You're in a career field that will require you to constantly keep on learning. And sometimes it might seem hard, you know, for the new technologies that we're present with that's brought to our attention. But if you just take a little step back and just observe everything clearly and go through it with a sound mind, you can do anything. Anything. Dude. And I'm a true testament of that.
Dude, that's awesome advice.
Yeah, because I know a lot of technicians get frustrated over the problems. You know, and a lot of us won't stop until we get it.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people don't have. That's a very strong quality. So, you know, pat yourself on the back or applaud yourself for that, because we get paid big bucks for the things that people do that for. We get paid big bucks for things that people that don't want to do.
Yeah.
So keep up the good work and keep on educating yourselves. And, you know, one day you'll be where you want to be eventually. So that's all I had to say about it.
That's great advice. I have to agree with you. If you want to do something, keep your eye on the mountain. And eventually you will get there, but you got to keep going in that direction. Great advice, man. I like that. And you gave everybody a good acknowledgement, too, for what they've done.
Yeah. So
I appreciate everybody who's watching the show, listening to the show, downloading the show. So keep listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And that's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.